It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and I really hope you enjoy this morning's show. It's going to be kind of fun because I'm spending the morning talking with my good friend Brent Manning, who many of you know is the former director of the IDNR, Illinois Department of Natural Resources. I consider Brent to be one of the top guys really in the entire country when it comes to natural resource management. He ran the DuPage County Forest Preserve. He ran the Wyoming Fish and Game Department. He ran the International Association. He's run about everything he's ever been involved in. So Brent and I this morning are going to have a little bit of an ad hoc conversation as we pass a Sunday morning in early February. And boy, gee whiz, when you think winter is going to be behind us, here we get down into the single digits and the snow geese that were building up in southern Illinois earlier this week. And the reports were from all over the Kaskaskia bottoms on up through Springfield. The geese are here. They're moving north. No sooner do they get here than they run into north wind and single digits, and they turn right around and they head back to Arkansas. But they'll be back. So anyway, this morning I thought we'd just have a general conversation, as Brent and I kind of like to do, about all kinds of things. Hopefully you'll find it of interest. And the first thing I'm going to have to say, Brent, is your tan. You've been in Mexico. You've got quite the tan going, but it looks to me more like a beach tan than a fishing tan.
Well, you know, Charlie, you're very observant. It is more of a beach tan than a fishing tan. I hate to say this, but I was too much of a sissy to get out on the big water. We had a lot of wind when we were in Cancun this time, and it looked very, very rough out there.
Well, anyway, Brent, you're nice to join us. You always are. And I thought this morning, let's talk, Brent, about a few things that are pertinent in Illinois and nationally. We know in Illinois, and for those of you listening, this is really true throughout the Midwest, whether you're listening this morning in Arkansas or you're listening in northern Minnesota or any points in between, there's something changing with deer. And everybody is commenting on, and everybody being people who spend time in the field, that they don't think that the deer herd, by and large, is where it was a few years ago. And a statistic came out recently that for the first time in history, since records were kept, more three-year-old and adult bucks were harvested than juveniles, young bucks. And deer managers are saying it's a fabulous sign of deer management and that now we're trophy hunting, and this is really good. Other people are saying, well, maybe it's a sign that we're missing some age classes. Overall, though, Brent, deer hunting seems to be changing. No longer do we have ever-increasing populations and ever-rising deer hunters. For the first time ever in our lifetimes, we're dealing with the dynamic of potentially falling populations and declining hunters. What, as you travel the country, do you hear, and where do you think this discussion ultimately has to go?
That's a very interesting discussion, and it's very close to my heart. From what I'm seeing and from what I'm hearing from other deer hunters throughout the Midwest, is that the deer populations are falling. You'll notice that Missouri has taken considerable action in mitigating the decline, as have other states around us. Illinois is, from my experience, we are seeing several years of decline due to EHD. We're seeing the advent of more and more chronic wasting disease in northern Illinois. And as an artifact of all this, we also saw a greater harvest this year. But I think the harvest overall may be more related to the very, very good weather that we've had to be outdoors during last fall season. So there are many, many things at play during this that are actually affecting our deer herd, and we need to look at it closely. We have to make some really tough decisions in the next couple of years, and I think that all Midwestern states are in the same situation.
Obviously, Brent, deer hunting is big business. Big license sales, out-of-state license sales, outfitters, lodges, hotels, equipment. we have been on a 50-year or so trajectory of more people deer hunting. From a time when you couldn't deer hunt because there weren't any deer or very few and seasons were banned, to now where deer hunting seasons arguably are or have been as liberal as they've ever been. If we enter a period of constricted opportunity, you would think maybe that leads to a decline in the number of people participating because of the lesser licenses. They have less opportunity to go, maybe not as many days, maybe not as many deer. If this were to happen as part of a management strategy, what does that do to the funding in Illinois and other states of the Departments of Natural Resources? How dependent are they, let's just take Illinois, on $100?
You know, most DNRs in the Midwest are quite dependent upon dollars that are generated from the sale of permits to harvest whitetail deer. In regard to the number of participants, I honestly think with reasonable reduction, we can see the number of participants remain just about the same. Because at this juncture, we have a number of people who go afield with many permits in their pocket. Then there may be less permits issued. For instance, instead of a person buying four or five permits annually, they may buy one or two permits. But they'll still be afield. So you'll still have the expenditure of money for gasoline, for ammunition, for equipment, et cetera, et cetera. But they might not be there as long as they would when they're carrying five or six permits.
But this is clearly new territory. We have a generation of people that came up to the wildlife management business with more people wanting to come go deer hunting with better equipment, crossbows. One of the questions I have for you is, every state seems, and we'll take a break in just a moment, we're visiting with Brent Manning, who is one of the great natural resource outdoor professionals in America, and we're lucky to call him one of Illinois' own. Crossbow hunting, take that for example. There are different regulations throughout the country on crossbows. Some states you can go in, if you're 15 years old, you can shoot a crossbow. Some states it's seniors only. I guess I'll ask your personal opinion, not a political opinion, but your personal opinion. As archery equipment has advanced tremendously, no longer, you know, everyone's shooting a recurve and hope they hit something. These things are highly skilled weapons now. Does that change the way we manage archery hunting? Does it change the way we look at crossbows? And how do you, just as Brent Manning, how do you feel?
Well, Charlie, I have to tell you, this is a personal opinion. It is certainly not anything I expect people to act on. But from my perspective and in my opinion, crossbow hunting should be there for the elderly. It should be there for people who are infirm or incapable of pulling a compound or recurve or a longbow. But that's it. I truly believe that it takes the skill out of archery hunting when someone is that is perfectly healthy, climbs into a tree or a ground line and is able to harvest a white-tailed deer with a crossbow. There is no movement involved. It's simply aim and shoot. With a bow, a regular bow, a compound bow, a recurve, or a longbow, you have to be a hunter. You have to know when to move. You have to know how to move. And it changes the ball game a lot. It makes hunters far more efficient in the field with crossbows. Now, I wouldn't have a problem if they wanted to put them in with firearms, because the same is true with a firearm. But at bow season, my personal opinion is no. It should not be limited to regular bows unless someone is infirm or incapable of pulling.
Well, I can just see the lines lighting up, Brent, with that comment. And I also, for those of you listening, I kind of feel like Brent does. This is about fair chase, and a crossbow is, my gosh, it's a fabulous weapon. And so is a gun. There's a difference between a crossbow and a recurve and shooting. I mean, flew arrows at ducks and geese. I mean, that's real skill. And a crossbow is a machine that is probably more like a firearm today than actually the old, when you think of the old method of of how we shoot archery-wise. But it is one of the things, Brent, I'm going to take a break now, but it is one of the things that professionals, and in Illinois in particular, we have to wrestle with. As the archery industry has exploded, their efficiency has exploded, and the skill, you get a point to where does skill and ethics cross, and what are we trying to accomplish under archery? So it's something I know Director Rosenthal listens to this program from time to time, as do many people at DNR. It's one of those things that is coming. It's that, as Bill Cullerton would say, is that speck on the horizon, and that speck is getting bigger, and it's the collision of archery hunting with firearms hunting, and how we have made archery so efficient in some cases that no longer are the success rates so low. The success rates, in fact, can be very high. And anyway, we're going to come back with Brent Manning in a couple minutes, and we're going to have a little bit of fun talking about some politics maybe. And Brent's obviously getting ready for turkey season, so we're going to talk about that. But it's a pleasure to have you with us, Brent. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here, and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all-steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, visiting with my great friend. At least I hope he thinks I'm a great friend, Brent Manning, longtime director of the IDNR in DuPage County and all over the country. People know who Brent Manning is, one of the really great wildlife professionals and minds of our generation. Brent and I were talking about deer and deer populations and hunting, and now we're going to shift to maybe a little bit of levity. We've got a little bit of time left, Brent. I know, Brent, that you like to turkey hunt, and you spend a lot of time doing it, and obviously the turkey season shortly will be coming upon us. What the kind of winter we've had, tremendous flooding. I talked about this last week on the show, how it displaces animals and birds and how the riparian habitat is so important during the winter. What are your thoughts when you get the kind of winter we've had, not hard, but wicked floods, and how does that displace turkeys, if it does, and what are your thoughts on the coming year?
Charlie, that's really an interesting question, particularly when you mix turkeys and politics. It's, that makes the targets, or the thoughts of targets, change in my mind somewhat. In regard to flooding and the displacement of turkeys, I think most of the time what you'll see is as a flood progresses, the turkeys will obviously move to higher ground. Historically, that probably wasn't much of a problem because of the great expanses of white oaks and other oak timbers with their primary food, or one of their primary foods being acorns. And in all honesty, if there is waste grain left in an area, it probably doesn't bother them too much. They will most likely go back down into the bottom of the rivers recede. In areas that have real efficient farming, it could hurt them dramatically because they will be driven out of an area into farm ground of high efficiency where there will be very little waste grain, which they depend on, particularly during this time of year. Now, if the acorn's gone, floated away, it'll make it tough. So it won't be easy on them.
Well, Brent, I hope a turkey is easy on you this spring. In Illinois, we have a population I think is holding its own, doing pretty well. So let's move, Brent. We got a couple minutes left. I've got to move you to a subject that I know you know very little about, politics. And, of course, I say that in jest, Brent. Here we are. New Hampshire's in the rearview mirror. And at what point, if there is a point, do these candidates get into situations where they have to talk about the future of outdoor recreation in America? Are we just now small potatoes, or how does that dialogue begin with these presidential candidates? What do you think? You've worked for many governors in many states. How does the current crop of presidential wannabes, if you will, realize that there's a big stick behind people who hunt and fish?
You know, Charlie, that is a fascinating and actually a wonderful question. We need to make those candidates realize, by virtue of our questions, our thoughts, we need to let them know that the great outdoors, whether it's hunting, fishing, bird watching, kayaking, canoeing, hiking, biking, et cetera, is important to all of us. It's a quality of life issue. And very often that's forgotten. They talk about jobs, they talk about the economy, all of which is vitally important. But we, those of us who care about natural resources and the long-term well-being of those resources, are vitally important as well. We have to make them realize that.
Well, hopefully, you know, I'd love to see, Brent, we got about a minute left. I'd love to see you on one of the debate panels and have a debate. We did this at WGN a while ago. We had a round table, and this was quite a while ago, and the presidential election with Senator John McCain was the Republican nominee. It didn't matter the party, but he came on, and we had a couple of radio shows with him talking about this. And it makes me think, for those of you listening, we ought to create a conservation round table of some kind and engage online or in some way the presidential candidates to deal with the issues that we think are important. The battleground states, we got about 30 seconds left, Brent. A lot of those battleground states, people hunt and fish, they're disproportionately important. So, Brent, I'm going to ask you one last question before you leave. You're a muskie fisherman. What's the biggest muskie, and what's your best memory? And we got about 20 seconds. You got to hurry.
Biggest muskie for me is 47 inches. My best memory is my wife catching one equally as big.
You know, he's always a diplomat. I love it. Brent, thank you so much for being with us. And for all of you this morning, I hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the great outdoors. Hope you enjoy your week. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.